Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 34, Episode 2 of Der Daily Zeitgeist!
Yeah.
We're June 5th, 2018. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a.
Hold me closer, Jack O'Brien. Ooh. Cast some zeitgeist with some Miles Gray.
That is courtesy of Rich Ramey at The Reesmeister on Twitter. And I am thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
It's a graining man. Hallelujah. It's graining man. Hey, thank you so much, Brent Liberati, for that fire, a.k.a.
And we are thrilled to be joined. Wow. Oh, sorry.
No, that's fine.
Hey.
All right, you're going to Kanye me like that. You got Virgil in the midst, and then you want to push me out.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
That's right. What were you going to say?
No, that's it. I was just, you know, I just wanted to make a point that if I'm going to stunt fully and be a stunt queen, I have to sing it out all the way to the end.
Mm-hmm. And we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the one, the only, the legend, Mr. Iffy Wadiwe.
A.K.A. I put my hand on the stove. Just to shout out Iffy, I put my hand on the stove.
That lyric is so whack to me.
Yeah, it is the corniest cornball.
It's like someone just heard Hurt by Nine Inch Nails.
That
like,
is,
I hurt myself to see if I still feel kind of thing.
Yeah, that is like a bar that you'd hear at like a high school band's backyard show.
Right.
Like that ties with one. I actually went to a backyard show and I remember it was like a hardcore band and like the chorus that I will never forget was, I was supposed to drink strawberry wine.
I was supposed to drink strawberry
wine. We were supposed to drink strawberry wine. Referencing the hit song, Strawberry Wine.
Ah, those.
Yeah.
I was thinking of that Dr. Steve Brule episode where he's like, sweet berry wine.
Yeah.
And he's fucked up off sweet berry wine.
Hey, I like that song, Ghost Town, by the way. Miles can shit on it all he wants. Yesterday, we were talking about how we liked it. And Miles was like, yeah, I don't know what it is. I guess I just don't like shit emo singing or something like that. Like
really
real like passive aggressive move.
I guess,
everyone
like, oh,
loves
that's
that.
My favorite.
Oh,
so.
For me, yeah. I just don't really get on with terrible mopey shit singing.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. What
Yikes, however, is like the clear banger on
all right.
But no one thinks you don't like Yikes?
I don't like
Yikes?
Yikes literally made me go yikes.
Yikes is yikesy because it's like he's addressing the stuff, but that clap back at Russell Simmons was pretty solid.
It's weird though too when he's like, I'm gonna pray for you because you got me too, rather than
right.
like you were not conducting yourself like a reasonable person. It's not like he, you know, fell victim to a
thing. That has been the like constant between both Pusha and his albums where they reference Me Too as if it's an attack
in a problematic way.
Like, nah, bro, that's called having to answer for your actions.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, the two people who think Bill Cosby is innocent are Kanye and Bill Cosby, and they're also the two people I've heard say, well, don't put me on Me Too or I don't want to get Me Too'd.
Because that's what he said, if it happened to me, I would be on E! News.
Yeah. Right.
No, that means, have you done some shit that you need to worry
right,
about?
Exactly. All right, we're going to talk about Apple waging war on Facebook, the fact that the best joke ever has been quote by Dennis Miller.
Oh, yeah, babe.
The latest shot fired in the culture wars between Donald Trump and the sports world, Paul Manafort being accused of witness tampering by the high priest of the Trump Inquisition, the White House's School Safety Commission, the least successful book pitch currently being pitched in New York City, which happens to be coming out of the mouth of one DJ TJ, and I'll talk about suicide, but first up, we like to ask our guest, what is something you've been searching, Iffy, that is revealing about who you are?
You know, this is going to be, you know, a doc against my blackness, but I recently Googled who Jay Prince was, because, you know, all this Jay Prince talk, and I was like, and you know, it was brought up in the group chat, and I was like, yeah, man, yeah, you definitely got to bow down to Jay Prince. Google, who is Jay Prince?
Now, can you explain what you found?
I found out that Jay Prince is this huge, like, Houston CEO, producer, and mogul, and he's kind of like a OG in the rap game, and when he tells you to stand down, you stand down. So
right. It
is funny because there was the wave of like, man, Drake ain't gonna go because daddy said something, but then slowly became like, yeah, but you do listen to Jay Prince.
Right. Mm-hmm. There was that good anecdote from the comedian who like got hired to do a prank show, and the first prank call was to Jay Prince, and Jay Prince was like, hey man, where you at? And he was like, oh, sorry, sorry, this was just a prank. We're just joking around. And he's like, no, seriously, where are you right now? And then the producer got on the line. And he was like, hey, it's Steven. You know, we were just doing this as a prank to, like, mess with you. And he was like, oh, you're with Steven. I know exactly where you are. And he was like, could be heard going, hey, man, turn around, turn the car around, and hung up. And they just cut the recording off, and he left town. That's how that session ended.
Yeah, it's weird when that story, though, of him saying don't release it, especially when he describes it as too overwhelming a response to the story of Addie Don. You're like, what the fuck? Where did he go with that one?
I
didn't know about that. So what happened?
Yeah, that's what he was saying.
That's why I'm talking about Jay Prince, because Jay Prince was saying, yo, Drake, do not release this clapback. Like, because he had something cooking.
I didn't know he had heard what Drake was planning to release.
Yeah, and he's just like,
it's too much.
The quote is, after speaking with Kanye, I spoke with the brother, and he didn't want this. I saw this going to a place I feel would have ended his career if Drake would have put out this song that he had on him. So just saying essentially that this was...
He would have ended Kanye's career?
No. Pusha T's.
Yeah.
Like, it's too overwhelming. So,
damn.
One day, you know, that'll be the most coveted bootleg.
I know. Ever. Yeah. They even asked, like, do you think it'll leak? He was like, nah.
No,
like, because
for everyone's safety.
I know. Yeah, he was like, I know Drake, and he respects me too much to let it leak. I was like,
no, see, everyone's terrified of me. So
yeah.
I like that self awareness.
The way he says it, the ingredients was overwhelming. I knew for a fact it would have been bad for Kanye and my man.
Oh,
it just wouldn't be good. It's beyond music at that point. It's going to affect the livelihood. It's going to interfere with his whole lifestyle from that moment.
Wow.
I guess in a way, that's a good way to clap back, is to have someone be like, just so you know, I had to step in because this would have ended people's livelihoods.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, man.
Iffy, what's something that's overrated?
Oh, man. I you know, speaking of Drake, I'm going to have to side with him. Being nice. Nice for what? Being nice is overrated. I'm so tired of being nice. I've just had multiple situations these past few weeks where, like, I try and put my best foot forward and be nice, and then people have just been dicks, just straight up dicks. Yeah, I think that's it.
So what? Just going to be mean from now on? Mean season?
Summer? I think just no one just automatically gains my pleasantries.
Yeah,
because, you know, it's... I don't know.
Well, sometimes, it's easy to meet a lot of people like that. You have to prove to you that they deserve respect sometimes.
Yeah.
Some people you can tell, you're like, oh, I can tell.
We're
respectable people. Sometimes people just want to take advantage.
Yeah.
There was, we were talking on yesterday's episode about the 48 laws of power, and that is one of the takeaways that, like, you shouldn't just be a doormat for people.
Yeah.
Like, that's...
Yeah, so there is some good in that,
There is some good in that.
Rule number 5.
I think it's worth a read. Just don't
take
everything.
Most of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Although the one thing I know, DJ Premier has, I think, number 5 tattooed on his arm.
Oh, really?
Which is like name recognition is the cornerstone of power.
Wow.
So,
if you would, is something that's underrated.
Underrated, I think the fact that the Gorillas went and combined their universe with the Powerpuff Girls universe. I think people aren't going crazy enough about
what?
That. Have you seen the new Gorillaz video?
No.
Oh, so during all of the Yay drop and all this, the Gorillaz like kind of released a new
great
music
timing,
video.
Timing Gorillaz.
Called Humility. And it's a really good song. It goes.
Yo, Jack just rage squeezed the water bottle everywhere.
He's so excited about the Gorillaz. He was like, what? But it's
I missed a Gorillaz drop.
But it's great because it goes back to old Gorillaz. Like, you know, Humans was good, but it just didn't feel like a Gorillaz album. It felt like Damon Albarn kind of pulled the curtain back and was like, this is just a collaborative effort.
Right.
This is a big collab album. And this, I feel, goes back to its roots of being like, no, we're a cartoon band and
we
do have people pop in. But in the video, Murdoch is in jail and sitting in for Murdoch is Ace from the Powerpuff Girls, the gang Green Gang, and he's playing bass now.
Whoa.
And it's like, and the animation looks so legit, and he like... It's a fun song, fun video.
And they came out and were announced, like, did they actually say that
the
universes overlap, though?
They announced in the wiki that while Murdoch is in jail, Ace is sitting in for him on bass from Powerpuff Girls' gang Green Gang.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Ace on bass.
This is some shit that I'm going to need to listen to an episode of your podcast, Nerdificent, to understand. I know Gorillaz, but I am not as familiar with the expanded universe of the Powerpuff Girls. All right. Iffy, finally, we like to ask, what is a myth? What's something people think is true that you know to be false based on your experience or just knowledge?
Yeah, creators don't have to give a fuck about you, fam. You know, this comes on the heels of the whole Star Wars thing that, you know, Kelly Marie Tran just deleted it.
Trolled off Instagram.
Yeah, and I guess like one of the creators were like, you know, the Star Wars fans are the worst, and now they're trying to be like, whoa, can you believe he called us the worst? And it was like, you guys have been the worst.
Right.
You guys have been shit. And, you know, Rian Johnson is trying to kind of, you know, backpedal, goes, they're the minority. The worst are the minority. The majority.
The worst
are
the minorities.
Yeah.
Like, whoa, whoa, what, Rian?
What? But, you know, and now, like, different people are stepping up and be like, you know, that is a small part of the fans that's bad. But in actuality, it's not. It's
right.
Actually, you know, I don't want to say it's not. It probably is a small minority, but they're really loud. And I feel like they have been having an overwhelming voice in the conversation. We can't talk about Star Wars and not hear just people try and shit on how it's not as good because of this sci-fi movie they saw when they were a child and somehow were able to digest the art of it.
Right.
Like,
at 6 years old.
Yeah. It's like, no, you just remember it being really tight. It's not, it wasn't that dope of a movie.
Yeah.
You know, and I know some people are just going to be like, ah, but
it's true. I mean, we say it all the time. Star Wars is one of those movies, those franchises you bring your own personal baggage into, and no one will ever be able to watch one objectively. You know, like, it's just everyone has such a, they come from different angles with it when they watch it. And yeah, when I was reading, for people who don't know, Kelly Marie Tran, who was the first woman of color lead in a Star Wars film, mm-hmm. was basically harassed off of Instagram to the point where she had to delete all her photos because everyone was in the comments. Or according to the reporting, that's what was going on.
Well, and I believe it because that one, I don't know if I talked about him on this episode, but there's that one conservative comic book artist who made those like Soylo shirts and soy. And like, I didn't go too deep into it, so I'm not sure, but there's been some weird push to make them buy the Tico toys, and somehow like they've kind of zeroed in on Kelly as like one of the things that they hate. And like I saw him retweeting people being like, who would have not thought I'd buy a Tico toy? And I don't know what they're like doing with it, but it's gross.
Right.
Like, it was one of those things where it's like, this isn't good, but I'm not going to try and find out more about it. I don't need to know. I just know that y'all are all trash.
Here's the thing. Yeah. If you're that angry about something, just stop giving them your money.
Yeah.
And pull yourself up by the creative bootstraps and make something better than Star Wars. I dare you.
Yeah.
Right. And that goes for the media, too. We don't need to report on literally every single culture war that happens.
Yeah,
because then that also gets people like, wait, oh, so there are sides in this?
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, no, there's not. These other people are just fucking angry that
this woman is like, argh!
Yeah, that fucking sucks. All right, let's get into the stories of the day. We want to start off with a fun little clip of Kentucky valedictorian a guy by the name of Ben Bowling, who read a inspirational quote to his class. Let's listen to it.
The first, don't just get involved. Fight for your seat at the table. Better yet, fight for a seat at the head of the table. Donald J. Trump. I'm kidding. That was Barack Obama.
Boo.
They almost got me to agree with Obama.
Yeah. There's a school principal or some sort of school official on stage with him, and when he says Donald J. Trump, they start clapping wildly, and then the Obama thing happens, and they're just like,
cool troll. You know, honestly, he could have held on to the just kidding.
Yeah,
got some notes for you, my guy.
Yeah, comedic timing. Just like let that applause go a little.
Let that
bit
cook.
Longer.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
Then when it dies down, just kidding.
Just kidding. That was Barack Obama. But then you might have actually had some heads exploding. That would have been no good. All right, let's talk about Apple. They had their developer conference yesterday.
It's ongoing, I think, right?
Yeah, and ongoing. They're currently in the midst of it. And I don't know, there's some new things, some cool things, like many participant FaceTiming. You can like now FaceTime
people?
Up to 32 people. Which I'm going to use immediately.
The only time I've ever thought about using that is like, I feel like on Christmas when you're trying to see some people and like you have people with babies or whatever. But most of the time I am fucking fucked up. Like Christmas morning faded where I'm just like hiding from it. And I'll be like, that's what's going on over here.
Yeah.
I don't need 32 people in my family seeing me just in a not Christmas way. But you know, what are you gonna do?
The Apple Watch is getting walkie-talkie mode. Memoji, what is that?
The Memoji is like where you take the, you know, you can do the animated augmented reality sort of emojis, so you can make like the chicken face like sort of contort along with your facial expressions.
Got it.
It's actually really cool.
Yeah, now you can kind of make your own avatar So now you've created your own little, you know, emoji for your own face.
All right.
So check that out.
And then if there was a theme, I would say it was Apple sort of fanning the flames of their conflict with Facebook. Earlier this year, Tim Cook said something to the effect of, you know, we would not be in the circumstance that Facebook's in because our product is not our consumers. We do not sell our consumers' data. And Mark Zuckerberg called his criticism glib, which he would know, I guess. but so yesterday, they really kind of wove that sort of distinction into their presentation. They, first of all, talked about how they're going to be shutting down like buttons that track internet activity of users logged into social media platforms like Facebook. So, you know, Facebook, a thing we've talked about before on the show is that Facebook doesn't just track you, like your what you enter into Facebook. It also, once you've logged into Facebook and go to another website, Facebook is tracking you, tracking all of your internet behavior. And any page that has a Facebook like button on it, Facebook is collecting that data. And so Apple is saying if you use our Safari browser on iOS or on Apple computers, they're going to make it so that you have the ability to just completely block that.
That, I think that's like for real straight up war, because now you're like, we're cutting your money. Like,
right.
Like, just so you know, because there are like a huge brunt of Apple users and a lot of people use it on iPhone. And so that is like some fighting words.
That's a lot of, it's a lot of data they can't sell anymore.
Yeah. Which is, it's, I know that's, it's, I like this. I like it, but I feel like the way that Facebook is going to counteract this is there's going to be an error when you use Safari and people are just going to think Safari's borked.
Right.
Right. Like, yeah.
Yeah. It'll be some cool, fun fuckery going on.
Oh yeah.
But
yeah,
it's weird too, because I know, Apple also kind of has some splaining to do, because I know the New York Times had that article come out about how Facebook was like working with the device makers very early on and allowing all of them access to data as they were trying to develop all like the, in the early days of these mobile apps, were being like, hey, well, BlackBerry or Microsoft or Amazon or Apple, like you guys can now get the data of your users' friends on Facebook. And that was like a big thing yesterday that blew up. And now everybody on Congress is like, Mark Zuckerberg, do you mind coming back?
Right.
Back then you were like, oh, there's no, like, we protect everyone's data. And then you find out, oh, also the device makers were also having their fun with too. And so we don't know exactly what they did with it or how they protected it. So, you know, maybe that's also another move from Tim Cook to be like, well, yeah, maybe we did, but we're also thinking of protecting everybody.
Oh, yeah, they're definitely trying to jump off the train early. Like, is this is going to be the point in, like, tech history when everyone's like, oh, yeah, no, we've been trying to protect your data.
Right.
That's why we burn the files.
Yeah, this is Apple's attempt to try to become the more wholesome tech behemoth by protecting you from app developers on their own platform. They're also adding different software and different things that can protect or that allow you to track the how you're using your Apple devices and, you know, figure out if you're spending too much screen time. Not sure how they'll make that fun to use, but I do think that's, I don't know.
What it's going to be like, look up from your phone, asshole, look up from your phone, asshole kind of thing.
But, you know, app developers are completely focused on getting people to spend as much time in their apps as possible. But Apple is just focused on getting you to pay them money for the device in the first place.
Yeah.
And so if the device takes over your life and makes your life worse, that's not necessarily good for Apple. So, you know, this kind of makes sense that their, you know, goals align with the user's goals because they just get that money up front and then they're just focused on people being able to use the product in a way that is going to be as fun as possible.
100%. Yeah, like they said, the user isn't their money. What it is making their device, you know, inoperable in 2 years so that you buy a new one. That's
exactly
their money.
That's the goal right
that's
there.
That's their hustle.
Right. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back, and as promised, I wanted to read you guys the greatest joke ever, quote, Dennis Miller.
Who, yeah, takes very long time to write his jokes, as right. we've heard in the past.
I believe he was working on this one for the past couple of years.
Clearly.
He wrote, progressives are shooting themselves in the foot more frequently than a centipede, quite frankly, is getting no relief whatsoever from a topical application of generic antifungal toenail cream, babe.
What the fuck?
Yeah, yeah, that makes, like, just
how? It doesn't even make sense.
Yeah.
I mean, it does.
That like, joke well, no, sucks. Because,
you're saying because... you have 100 feet.
Right.
And, you're shooting your, it's not even, I mean,
but you
I
don't
get
shoot
it.
That it's medication.
Stupid.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess yeah. you spray it, but nobody's ever.
Well, yeah. because there's no relief. The relief is so lacking that you got to blow your foot off, babe.
Good one.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on.
Like, stuff like this is why I could see why Eddie Murphy is afraid to come back. He's like, maybe I yeah. don't have it. And then yeah. he sees, like, he'll see a post from Dennis Miller. He's like, yeah, I made the right choice.
Yeah, right. I'm not going to say shit. I'm just going to stick to this reggae music.
Right. Wait, is Eddie Murphy releasing
Yeah, you don't know
music?
About that. Eddie Yo, have you not seen that?
No.
Eddie Murphy is, I think he put out a reggae album.
Yeah, yeah. Fuck. He has a huge reggae. Like, yeah, he's been pushing that reggae.
I think he had an album called,
bad.
Or a song called Oh, oh really? Jaja.
Yeah, it's not that bad. It's All actually, right. but it does feel like, because Eddie Murphy has such a prominent voice, it just feels like a character.
Yeah, it just feels
But
weird.
It's actually kind of good. Like, the music is good, but when he starts singing, it's like, oh, I feel like this is a character.
Yeah, and then when you see it, you're like, this looks like Eddie Murphy doing a bit.
Yeah.
It's hard right. to watch the video and then think it's good. I think if you just listen to it in a vacuum, then maybe.
So he affects an accent that is not his.
Oh, yeah.
That's
He goes for it.
It's for Jaja.
all right, let's talk some culture wars, you guys. Another story that people are going to be talking about in the coming probably
Rather than
weeks,
real issues.
Trump has decided to disinvite the Eagles to the White House because, as the video package on Fox News showed, the Eagles all were kneeling during the anthem. So they're social justice warrior, non-patriot.
Yeah, get out of here.
Oh, wait. No, that was a video of them actually kneeling in prayer.
Yeah, or players from the season before who don't even play on the team anymore.
Right, and there are no players on the team currently who kneeled during the anthem, but basically a couple of them had said they aren't interested in visiting the White House because mm-hmm. they disagree with the Trump administration on everything.
Yeah, that's what was funny about it is that they're like, because they want to kneel. And it's like, no, they just, a lot more than that, buddy.
Yeah, you just got nah-fammed. Yeah. And you're like, well, hurry up, outrage, some kind of fake outrage. Here we go.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's really Trump's number one move is, you know, dump them before they dump you.
Yeah.
That's what he did with Kim Jong-un.
Yep.
That's what he's doing with the Eagles.
Maybe he hopes it's going to work.
Right. Yeah. Maybe it's going to, like, come back and he's going to be like, he thinks the Eagles are going to be like, we're sorry.
Yeah, sorry.
And he'll be like, okay, you can come
All
to
right,
my house.
Tussle my hair.
Yeah.
It's just so disingenuous. And, like, when Fox put that package together, like, and people just called them out immediately, they'd come back and be like, oh, that was a mistake. But clearly,
not a mistake.
They were crafting together as much images to try and create this narrative that was like just total bullshit.
Yeah, it's wild. It's wild that just how much misinformation is just being put out and
right.
just blatantly, and then trying to just walk it back by, like, oh, this was a mistake. Like, no, normally journalists get fired for stuff like that.
Yeah, well,
not
again,
Fox,
this
yeah.
is different.
Not
yeah, we'll see. I mean, it's funny because I don't think this is going to be the only team not going to the White House because,
oh,
I think
yeah.
as LeBron James said, he said, no matter who wins the finals, ain't nobody really wants to go to the White House, so don't worry about us.
Yeah. yeah. And then Steve Kerr came out and was like, yeah, maybe things will return to normal in 3 years.
That is optimistic.
It's also interesting that they mistook people kneeling in prayer for people kneeling during the anthem because those are equally conspicuous on-field displays of, you know, personal belief and, you know, taking a political stance. But everybody's really okay with, especially people on the right are okay with kneeling in prayer. And in fact, probably it makes them like the players better when they
yeah.
kneel in prayer.
100%. Remember how people love Tebow, no matter how bad he sucked, and they really tried to keep him in the league, no matter how bad he sucked.
And
then the other guy, then the black guy tried kneeling, and no matter how good he was, they could not put him on a team.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny. We were speculating what that number looked like of how many players, like what that threshold was to activate petty Trump.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Less than 10 players. from the Eagles said that they didn't want to go. And that was too much of a slight.
Plenty. Yeah, that's
president impotence.
All right, guys, let's talk about your boy Paul Manafort, accused of witness tampering.
Uh-oh.
Which
P. Diddy.
That can't be true, right?
Oh,
not Paul Manafort.
Not the guy who was fucking piling around Ukraine and shit, fucking greasing the wheels on all kinds of dark political deals. There's no way that this is how he operates.
Yeah. So this was almost immediate, right? Like, he was concocting his story and telling Mueller, you know, that he worked with this company in a very specific way. And he, you know, he clearly thinks of himself as a super spy. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, after supporting all those foreign despots for cash, he might not be wrong, but he was still too dumb not to contact potential witnesses in his case via text.
Ugh.
And through an intermediary, and try and get them to, like, on board with his story that he had just told Mueller. And he did it, like, almost immediately.
Yeah. Also, that intermediary is an actual Russian spy. So let's not forget that, who is Konstantin Kalimnik, who has been listed in other documents, who they listed as person A, but we know from based on other documents is actually this Russian Konstantin Kalimnik. Yeah. But yeah, again, he got indicted. And then the first thing he does, he hops on WhatsApp and he's like, yo, you there? It's me, Paul. and
hello from the other side.
Seriously, it was just really bad. And they were saying the day after the indictment was made public, he hops on and says, this is Paul. Then 2 days later, he used the same encrypted application to send them a news article that showed them sort of like what the allegations were.
Right.
So then it can be like, okay, so I said we didn't work in the U.S., basically.
Right.
And then other people were like, please stop calling me.
Yes.
You are what we say. You are making it hot, my guy.
Right.
Just leave me off your call records because I don't need people combing through them. It's bad because I think a witness even went to Mueller and was like, sorry, I think this guy is trying to make me perjury.
Yeah.
Suborn perjury, rather, was like the term that was used.
Yeah, maybe you're not the world's smoothest supervillain if you're like going to these people you did crimes with and they're immediately turning the evidence that you give them, that you're contacting them over to the special prosecutor.
Yeah.
But yeah, there are great quotes. Manafort hitting them up on WhatsApp. We should talk.
We should talk.
And then a couple days later, I have made clear that they worked in Europe. And then his intermediary saying, quote, basically, P wants to give him a quick summary that he says to everybody, and then in parentheses, which is true. So, you know, we want to make sure that you know we're not lying here, that our friends never lobbied in the U.S. and the purpose of the program was the EU.
Uh-huh.
So basically, hey, I'm calling on behalf of P, currently under indictment in the most prominent criminal investigation in the world right now. You didn't do any crimes with him, right? No crimes?
No. That's, all right, we're good.
That's what I thought. If anyone asks about crimes, say no crimes. Basically, you didn't do any, okay?
It's very...
Thanks, bye.
It's just bad. They're so bad, and this is very desperate. Because the other thing they were saying is people were like, well, how the fuck did they get these encrypted WhatsApp messages? We come to find out, they were fucking backed up on his iCloud.
Mm-hmm.
So he doesn't even know the basics of, like, lying and fuckery.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, no.
It's just he's an old man because, you know, the same thing happened when he got caught sending PDFs back and forth with Rick Gates to when they were trying to doctor documents for a bank. And he's like, I don't know how to turn this Word document into PDF and change it. And he's like, all right, I did it. Here's the Word document. And then Paul Manafort's like, can you change it back to PDF for me? And, like, they had all these records.
After he documented
They're just, you know.
Well, that's what's going to be the worst when they look back on this in the future, where they're like, wow, these guys were idiots and no one was able to do anything for a while. Really?
Yeah.
I wonder what was up.
What was going on here?
Yeah. It is one of the lessons of history that supervillains and all the slick scheming and people pulling crazy conspiracies off is that shit happens in movies and nowhere else.
Right.
Like, criminals tend to be bumbling idiots. There was a attempt at a massive, like, overthrowing the government style scheme back during FDR's administration by a bunch of businessmen. And they went to this, general in the military, retired general, to be like, hey, overthrow the president for us. And he was like, yeah, sure. And then immediately turned around to the, you know, the government was like, hey, this is bad, hey, right?
These business fuckers are trying to overthrow the government.
Yeah, the business plot is wild.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I mean, I think hopefully we'll see if Manafort gets his bail revoked.
Right.
And don't have to, because they basically let him go home with his ankle bracelet.
Yeah.
And then look what happened. The second they let that happen, he's out here WhatsApping his, you know, co-conspirators.
Right. So how does this tie into the overall Trump investigation? Like, this isn't exactly Trump doing collusion with Russia, right? This is more him surrounding himself with somebody who has shown a willingness to do constant illegal shit.
Or as, like, you know, he becomes the party's nominee for president, then there are, like, changes to the party's platform with, like, specific language about Ukraine and stuff in there. So, you know, it's all very murky. I think they all know that a lot of people believe that he could be the guy who, you know, flips on Trump and a lot of things come tumbling down.
Right.
But who knows? I mean, let's just vote motherfuckers out. Yeah. How about that?
Yeah. And clearly, though, I mean, he is worried about going to prison because he's, again, doing collusion.
Yeah.
Like, hey, we didn't do those crimes. Cool.
Yeah.
Talk to you later.
Hey, what you in for? Conspiracy against the United States? Oh, fuck.
Damn.
Get the fuck away from me.
Yeah. It's like Bernie Madoff is like a legend in the prison that he's in. That would be some legendary shit.
Well, I don't know if it's legend. Well, isn't he giving like financial advice?
He is.
That's why, too. He's like, let's diversify your bonds.
Which would not be my first choice for somebody to take financial advice from.
Yeah. But he's already doing a Ponzi scheme in jail. He's like, look, let's put our money together. See, here we go.
All right, Miles, there has been a little back and forth about gun control and guns in school. What's going on?
Okay. Well, so clearly, for anyone who listens to this show or has been alive in the last 15 years in this country, school shootings have just been getting worse and worse. And, you know, we haven't really had any kind of meaningful gun reform. The White House has seemingly done nothing about this problem because we all know they just love the NRA so much that they'll give every excuse under the sun except guns to explain what the problems are with these shootings. So let's just kind of walk through a couple things I heard in the last week. There was a 13-year-old journalist for Time for Kids, which is Time magazine for children. He was able to go into the White House briefing and ask Sarah Sanders a question. And naturally, this child had a very, very poignant, relevant question for Sarah Sanders. And she tries her best to answer very, you know, sincerely.
High school, we recently had a lockdown zone. One thing that affects mine and other students' mental health is to worry about the fact that we or our friends could get shot at school. Specifically, can you tell me what the administration has done and will do to prevent these senseless tragedies?
I think that as a kid and certainly as a parent, there is nothing that could be more terrifying for a kid to go to school and not feel safe. So I'm sorry that you feel that way. This administration takes it seriously. And the School Safety Commission that the president convened is meeting this week, again, an official meeting, to discuss the best ways forward and how we can do every single thing within our power to protect kids in our schools and to make them feel safe and make their parents feel good about dropping them off. Amen.
Ooh.
Did she say amen?
I think she was trying to point to another thing.
I
don't think she amened her own and amen to that young man. Okay, next.
When I was young, you know, my mom's from Louisiana, her family's from the South. There used to be a saying they used to say when something like this would happen, and it would be, stop with all them crocodile tears. Because you can't, in good conscience, really feel sad about it if you're not about to do anything.
Right. Well, I think that's weird. It was one of those weird moments where Sarah Sanders, like, programming goes out of whack, and
right.
she shows, like, there is still a biological force underneath that may be trying to escape.
Yeah.
Because you could tell she really did feel for this kid, like saying, like, wow, kids nowadays truly do live in fear of being shot in school. And it's weird to see that emotion come out. And then the programming kicked back and she's like, and we are doing everything
right.
because there is a school safety commission that is going to look at all the ways we can make sure you are safe.
Yeah, doing everything in their power.
Everything, because we want to make sure that kids don't have to worry about getting clapped up at school by others. It's very basic. So cut to today, Betsy DeVos, who's the Secretary of Education, she runs the Department of Education, she was asked by Pat Leahy, who's a senator from Vermont, about this very specific thing, about the School Safety Commission, and saying, right, so what are you guys doing looking at this? Because you guys are tasked with looking at school safety, and I'd imagine that guns have a lot to do with that. So listen to her answer.
Will your commission look at the role of firearms as it relates to gun violence in our schools?
That is not part of the commission's charge, per se.
Wow. So this is a school safety commission about violence in schools, and they are not going to be looking into how guns factor into that.
Yeah.
It's how, just, what are they going to look at?
I don't know. It's very weird. And like he goes on to ask, like he's like, well, what about the gun violence? Like, well, we're looking at school violence.
Right.
That's so funny. It's just so nebulous. To change the language around it. School violence. No.
Right.
It's gun violence.
It's gun violence.
Yeah.
And it's, also, I wish my man's would have cleared his throat before asking that question, but, you know, that's more of an aside.
Well, repeatedly, he is just in a constant state of, like, having just ate a gallon of ice cream.
Right.
Like, just
he is pipe tobacco embodied as a human being.
A.K.A. Phlegm Dog. Good to see you, my man.
But yeah, no, it's, I think this is the most frustrating thing. I think beyond all the scandals and everything is just, there's a clear problem in just seeing that kind of inaction and seeing, because honestly, what they're trying to do is just hoping that, you know, something with like maybe Israel or North Korea will happen and we'll just forget about the guns thing.
Right.
But when there's a shooting almost every day, it's kind of hard to forget about it.
Yeah, and he right before he juxtaposed that question with, you know, we're averaging about a school shooting a week.
Yeah.
And clearly this must factor in. And then he's like, but it looks like they're going to look at like social media and video games. Pretty much anything but a gun.
I think he says that in this quote. He says specifically, I think you guys are looking into video games, which is fine, but video games exist in all other countries and they're not having a school shooting every week.
You know, what's funny about that is this week's episode of Nerdificent is about violence in video games. And we actually debunk all the BS that they're trying to run and actually point out the fact that they actually went to the Supreme Court system and Justice Anton Scalia, the late
Scalise.
And most nefarious of judges who you'd think would find some way to weasel in, was like, no.
Yeah.
There's so much proof that proves that there's nothing that links video games to gun violence. But I'll save that rant for the show.
Yeah,
but it is wild that they keep trying to find anything else but.
Yeah, well, it's because Donald Trump, he, you know, like I said, he'd be 69 with the NRA, so we know what's going to happen. And all of this, right, all of this discussion is painted against a backdrop where in Pennsylvania, there was a middle school where the students who graduated from eighth grade were given bulletproof backpack plates, like as graduation gifts. But just listen, this is like the local story just to hear kind of about this.
It's sad that times have called for such a product to be invented, but we have answered the call. Handguns are useless against a product like this. Shotguns are useless against a product like this.
Wait, he stopped. He didn't say assault rifles, which have been
the weapon
used
of choice
in school shootings.
Yeah, this guy who gave, he was like a parent at the school and has the company that makes those plates.
Of course he does.
So it's like pure, it's also like this pure capitalism thing. It's like, and you know, it's sad that times call for an invention like this, and I have invented it for $70.
Right. Yeah.
You can purchase this right now. And what's crazy, when they show the actual, when you look at the video clip of them handing it out to the students, a lot of the kids are so confused and just like looking at it like, what the fuck?
Here's your
like,
diploma for graduating eighth grade, and here is a bulletproof backpack plate.
Right.
And yeah, that puts a damper on
also
things.
Like, one, the logic behind this is insane. Like, if you're sitting in a class, you won't have that backpack backplate. And if you're away from your backpack, if you're in a PE class when a shooting's going on, you don't have it. If you're walking towards the shooter, your backplate isn't going to protect you. It's just, that's not what we need. It's,
right. Well, yeah, I mean, I think it's part of this idea that when there is a school shooter, I think some of the drills that they do are, you know, everybody runs around and makes a lot of noise if the school shooter comes into your classroom.
Right.
And it's not that that's going to keep him from killing you. It's just going to make it harder
for him to kill.
Take her. More time for them to kill you and therefore maybe save other people's lives. So maybe having, like, some of the kids will be able to get to their backpacks and that will slow down a school shooter.
Yeah, but we're willing to offer up the lives of children in order, instead of just signing a paper and just nutting up. And like, who are you afraid of at this point?
It's heartbreaking to hear like kids talk about like they have legitimate anxiety about going to school and that's what's going to happen. Like, ugh, God, I mean, I don't know how that makes you guys feel as parents or whatever, but like, to think that a school is actually a place where, oh, wait, yes, the school is a place, a location, a venue for which this kind of violence can happen, it's becoming more and more common.
I am, for the first time in my life, somewhat hopeful about the future, thanks to the kids from
Parkland.
Yeah, Parkland, because up to this point, we've existed in a world where I wrote an article like 5 years ago about gun violence, and you couldn't find statistics. The CDC blocks statistics right. about gun violence. Like, it's so powerful, the urge to stop people from studying this shit. And now, like, finally, people are starting to do some research. And I think the research is going to be overwhelming. I think not too long from now, you know, whether it's 10 years or more, there's going to be a time when we look back on this moment and just how the gun industry has sort of run politics yeah. surrounding gun legislation and think of it the way that we thought of smoking in the 40s and 50s. Hopefully. I mean, I don't know. That's, yeah.
It's, again, that's why I know it feels really sort of disheartening or like, what are we going to do? But that's why it's important to keep all of this in mind when you go to vote.
Yeah.
Because that's really the only way you can send a message to some of these lawmakers who potentially or who clearly value the contributions of the NRA more than like common sense legislation. I don't know how you can like look at stuff like this and still be like, well, maybe it's video games.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, the thing that is very specific about guns and cigarettes and no other industry is there is not a non-deadly version of either of those two products. So video games, if you're wondering, like, well, why wouldn't violent video game lobbies like try and stop people from legislating against them? It's because you can make video games less violent if they were, in fact, found to be a problem.
Right.
But you can't make a non-deadly gun. Like, that just doesn't happen. All right, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back after these messages. And we're back, and something that is just breaking this morning as we're recording this is that Kate Spade, the designer, has killed herself in New York City. She was 55. And I wanted to just use this because this tends to be the only time that the media covers the story of suicide as when a famous person kills themselves. And the tendency is to mythologize that person or make the act of killing oneself seem somewhat mysterious. And, you know, I think that's also the tendency when a famous person dies in any way. But that combination of only hearing about suicide when a famous person does it and that person being immediately mythologized and paid immense attention to, I think can be dangerous because we don't really hear about it otherwise. And I just always like to emphasize this. I'm not going to talk about the British coal gas study, guys. But I feel like the most underrated and underreported aspect of suicide is still how often people who attempt to kill themselves and fail to do it go on to live happy and full lives where they don't kill themselves.
Yeah.
There's this article in the New York Times that focuses on the fact that 5% of people who attempt suicide do go on to kill themselves after a suicide attempt. And in one study that looked at a 25-year trailing a first attempt found that it was 1 in 25 people went on to kill themselves. But I think, you know, they were making the point that so a suicide attempt is a red flag, which I don't know that there was anybody who didn't think that. But I think the remarkable thing about those statistics is that means 95% of the people who made the permanent and, you know, seemingly very serious decision to kill themselves when that decision didn't go through decided in retrospect that was a bad idea. This is
right.
Yeah. Not what I wanted to do.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of studies about the sort of impulsiveness of committing suicide, too. And I think in the New England Journal of Medicine, they found 24% of people who made near-lethal suicide attempts decided to kill themselves less than 5 minutes before the attempt, and 70% made the decision within an hour. So that's another cluster that, you know, is sort of overlaps, I think, with just sort of the impulsive nature on how like sort of sad that impulsivity can kind of translate.
So it's not like 13 Reasons Why, where you have the time to make 13 tapes.
Well, I mean, of course there are people who take the time to make it, like their intent is very clear,
yeah,
and
right.
they plan and do things like that. But you know, a lot of this study is also showing that that is a small minority of people.
Yeah. Right.
I was just pointing out just how 13 Reasons Why kind of glorifies, you know, suicide.
Yeah.
And it could be a good thing because, like, look how, you know, you finally gets people talking about the situation that happened to you.
Right. You turn yourself into this, like, legend that people have to, you know, pick apart and think about. They did a study where they went back and followed up with 515 people. And on average, more than 26 years later, 94% of them were either still alive or had died of natural causes. So,
right.
Yeah, even when you're that serious about it, that you go to the Golden Gate Bridge to do it, like that is still, you know, a bad decision in retrospect that people wish they hadn't made.
Yeah, and it just shows, you know, we gotta be there for people and not make people feel, you know, I think mental health still is a huge thing that we have failed to kind of destigmatize in this country.
Yeah.
It's
because we only want to talk about it when maybe shootings happen. You know, no one outside of that, no one wants to discuss it. And I think also just attaching that to make it seem like when mental health equals you trying to inflict pain on others instead of like the more, I feel like, silent types where it's on yourself. No one can really know when you're inflicting pain on yourself.
Right.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think it's an underreported fact that a lot of suicides are just really bad decisions, like errors that people make that can't be taken back, no matter how much they would have eventually wanted to be able to do so. So, all right, let's move on to less awful shit, which, so right now, a book is being pitched around the New York publishing industry. It is not being received very well. The pitcher is one Donald Trump Jr. And basically people who have heard this pitch say that it would essentially be a protracted defense of his father's presidency. And several major publishers have just been like, nah, we're good. Which even though you would think that it would have an audience.
Yeah, like maybe. They weren't even making bids.
No.
They were even like, that's a hard pass, my guy.
Yes.
We don't need a real-time revisionist history happening, and we're not going to publish that. But, I mean, I he probably saw people like James Comey and what's the other homie? Michael Wolff.
Right.
Getting those checks, getting those coins off of a book about the president. And he's like, oh, maybe I can catch that wave and protect my daddy.
Yeah.
But, I don't think people saw right through his pitch.
Can't wait to see it available on Kindle when he self-publishes it on Amazon.
Right.
He tweets out the link.
Yeah.
Or he does a Patreon.
Guys,
Kickstarter.
Come see. I'm talking about my daddy.
He also apparently, when publishers were like, well, the thing that everybody's going to want to know about is the Mueller investigation. And Donald Trump Jr. was apparently, quote, flabbergasted that people were interested in that. He's like, what? Wait, you guys still care about that? Come on, it's a witch hunt. Let's move on. That is a normal collar. Find another angle.
Didn't I tell you about you didn't read that passage about how my dad called me gay when I didn't catch a foul tip at Yankee Stadium? I mean, this is really cool dad stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know what the fuck he's thinking. I mean, I guess it really does show you just sort of how sort of ignorant of how the rest of the world is sort of viewing this.
Yeah.
Like he is when he goes in there and he like flabbergasted by people's interest in the Mueller investigation.
What?
Right. So, I mean, somebody's going to eventually publish this. I'm sure part of the reason that it's being received so coolly by the publishing industry is I think there have been some examples where publishers have been threatened by high-selling authors that they will leave them if they publish books that are in bad taste. So I think authors have kind of taken some agency when it comes to the books that their publishers are willing to put out there, but I'm sure somebody's going to eventually cash in, make a quick buck on this.
Yeah. I didn't even realize in reading this article, James Comey, they say possible that he could have got a $2 million advance for his book.
Yeah.
Oh, so Donald probably heard that and was like,
he's
okay.
Like, oh, me too.
If you can get two, I can get four.
Yeah.
Like, fuck out of here.
Right. No. There ought to be, like, at those new Amazon stores that are popping up that are just Barnes & Nobles with a couple, like, Amazon Echoes in the front. But they should just have a whole, like, Trump section because I'm sure this is going to generate way more books and investigations and literature than even Watergate when it's all said and done.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, if he's really smart, he needs to start writing a book that's honest.
Yeah.
And then really cash that fucking check in.
Right. Because according to anybody who knew him, like, in the past, he despises his dad. And his dad is, you know, he recognizes that his dad is the world's biggest asshole. So.
Well, super producer Anna Hosney just trolled me. She writes down, Geraldo Rivera will publish. And I looked at her and said, really? And she went, fuck no.
Cool. Dynamite drop in. Super producer Anna Hosnier.
Kept scribbling. I was like, oh shit, Geraldo? And then I was like, wait, no. What the fuck power does Geraldo have aside from growing his mustache and getting punched in the face?
What they should do is somebody should just hit him with the okie doke and give him like a TV interview deal, something like the Jinx, and just let him do exactly what Robert Durst did.
Yeah.
And just snitch on himself just through just great questioning, just like something basic, something deep, and he's just running his mouth because he seems like the type that talks too much.
You
get him talking, he's not going to be able to catch himself.
Also, guys, like, I feel like he probably didn't get a lot of attention from his father. So, like, if there's, like, an older guy who kind of sub in to be that guy and then slowly coax that out of him, because then he'll start to be like, you know, my dad actually, like, he's pretty fucked up sometimes. Like, yeah, no, roll with that, roll with that. And he's just burping. We need Robert Jarecki on this.
Right. I mean, Robert Jarecki is a master of disguise, or at least he looked like one in that show. He honestly looked like he was wearing false eyebrows and, like, a fake goatee. In the Gist.
If you guys haven't seen The Gist, please wrap your head around that.
The Jinx.
I'm sorry, The Jinx.
I was like,
whoa, what's this new version?
All producers from all angles shaking their heads at us. I'm sorry, he said Gist, and I don't think for myself.
Iffy, it's been a pleasure having you here.
Killer segue.
Where can people find you, man?
Yo, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram, Iffy Wadiwe, IFYNWADIWE. Tuesdays, Nerdificent. Monday, Candy Dinner. And a lot of the Zeit Gang been popping in while I'm streaming. So if D's on Twitch, come through. If you've never been on Twitch before, but if you got an Amazon Prime account, you can hop in, get that free month sub, and sub to me.
Because
that's, you know, your boy definitely would love your subs. And, you know, talk to me live while I'm, you know, playing some Fortnite.
Or
I've been playing a lot of Dauntless now. It's like a Monster Hunter type game. So come hang. I've really been surprised and happy with the amount of Zeitgangers.
It's all love.
Nerd boys or nerd fam. That's the Nerdificent crew. # nerd fam and Zeitgang. Thank you.
Come through. Yeah. Bless them.
Hey, Miles.
Yes.
What about you, man?
Oh, little old me. Well, if you want to see that hot social media action, check me out on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Ray. I'm trying to get to at least 10,000 followers eventually. Not really close yet, but
I'm getting close on the Twitter.
Like, oh yeah,
yeah, yeah. Thanks, Zeit fam, because y'all getting me up there. I'm at like 9.3.
Guys, don't make me get real thirsty out here and start some kind of real campaign on the show to be like, follow Miles, get him to the petty level of 10,000 followers.
Both these guys deserve, at the very least, 10,000 followers. You can find my hot social media action on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website. Have you guys heard about these websites?
No.
DailyZeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. We link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song that we ride out on.
Yes.
Miles.
Okay.
What's it going to be?
We need just a little. We got to get the energy up. So I want to play a little K-Tronada flip of the Tedra Moses track, Be Your Girl. Now, K-Tronada, his remix is just really gets something going in me. And, you know, as I said yesterday, if you really want to get that honey going in your hips and make your big toe shoot up in your boot, well, then let me tell you, my man, or my woman, or whatever, if you're non-gender conforming, this is the track to save us on this Tuesday. So, Be Your Girl, K-Tronada edition, Tedra Moses, put it in your ear. Have a great day.
All right, we're going to ride out on that. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. Talk to you guys then. Bye.
Don't know if you got a girl. Don't mean to disrespect, but all of you rule my world. I even dream of you, I swear. Visions of you and I. See you all around my way. Bending in to say hi, but I'm just way too shy. I gotta make you see this is more than just a silly crush. And I wonder if you even notice me. You gotta feel me.